The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Remember when we used to record in person?
I was imagining that we were gonna have to do that if my computer wasn't fixed on time. I was like, maybe I'll just have to go into Stewed.
Yeah, what's Stewed, dude? We don't have a Stewed anymore.
And then I was like, yeah. And then this, I was thinking, I'm like, honestly, I'll just like be like, Brent, can I just pay you to rent out the Stewed? And then I was like, oh wait, there is no Stewed anymore.
Yeah, I know. I'd have to bring like my little USB interface of like a laptop or something, and then just do it like that in Stewed or something. That'd be real low rent.
Our studio is now a cloud studio because like we're recording an album with my band, and like Brent's doing the whole thing, and it's all just a cloud.
I just downloaded a Logic project before I came in here to start recording. I'm going to edit the podcast, you know, as soon as we're done recording. But then I'm also going to start working on that.
Cool.
The Logic project.
Very exciting. Yes. So, yeah, we're a cloud studio now. We're a cloud podcast.
Cloud Stewed, Cloud Pod, Fat Clouds.
Ripping Fat Clouds.
Vape Nation.
Yeah, but my we're recording this the day before it goes out because my freaking computer was broken. And then I'm gonna explain to you what the issues were, right? So a year ago, like literally a year ago, I bought a motherboard because there was this motherboard that was on sale, and I was like, whatever, I'm gonna buy it right now, and then I'll use it for the next time I build a computer. Fast forward a year to recently, I'm like, oh, I'm getting, you know, that fat Amazon cash because I'm working at Amazon right now.
That Bezos bucks.
Yeah.
Jinx!
Yes.
I hope we sunk that up.
It's actually funny. We get paid. Bezos, when he shoots up in the rocket, he just tosses money bags out. And then, like, whatever rains down, how much you can grab is your pay for the week.
It's like that tornado thing that you see at kids' places. Grab all the money you can.
Yeah, that's it. There's actually a big section of the warehouse for that. Ours just got put in. So I was like, oh yeah,
it's literally
I'm gonna
Squid Game.
I'm gonna finish my computer, right? So I get the rest of the parts. I get a processor, which is, you know, pretty expensive. It's impossible to get a graphics card right now.
Oh yeah, so, yeah. The chip shortage, baby.
Yeah, yeah. So I paid my little brother to get his. I technically bought his entire computer off of him, but it was basically just to get his graphics card and a few other of his parts like hard drives and RAM and whatnot. Anyway, I put the computer together, and it doesn't turn on at all. It doesn't turn on at all. And then I'm like, what the heck is the issue? First issue I realize, oh, you forgot to plug in the power button, right?
Yeah, it's always the first issue.
Second issue I realize after I plug in the power button is that on the motherboard, there's like a little light that will light up, and then you can look in the manual and you can follow the light code and it will tell you what's wrong with the computer.
Oh, that's cool.
And the light code was telling me that something was wrong with the GPU, and that can mean that the GPU pins are broken. That can mean that the socket, the CPU, the processor, right? Processor pins could be broken. The processor socket could be broken on the motherboard. The processor fans could not be plugged in or something.
So it could be a number of things within the same.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like the processor insides could just be broken. So I check everything and I'm like, oh my God, this is nothing. I bring it into like an expert and they're like, yeah, we think either your motherboard or your processor is broken. We recommend just replacing both. So I replaced them both under warranty, and then the new part. Yeah. So well, the processor I was able to get under warranty. The motherboard, I had to get a new one, but that wasn't that bad. Motherboards aren't too expensive. It's not that bad. You know, I got those Bezos bucks. You know, I can make it rain motherboards if I want.
Born in 1964.
Dude, okay, a quick little side tangent, Bobby, because you said that line. Somebody there used to be somebody who worked there who would play that on like the work.
I
can't remember if I've said this on the podcast. I might have already, but somebody used to play that, and I would be like, "Why? This is so strange." I'd be like, "This is not what I want to be listening to."
That's like if you
in Amazon.
I don't know. That's like if you worked at like Chuck E. Cheese and then like went in the back and listened to like the Chuck E. Cheese commercials on repeat. Like, it's like, we're a kid, can be a kid. Like, no, you're already working there.
Yeah, I'm glad you said in the back, because it's like, we're not it's like, there's no customers there.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, you're making the pizza and you're like, we're a kid, can be a kid.
I'm wondering if they're doing it, is it meant to be ironic, or are they actually like, yeah, Jeff, get him?
I think it was just a Bo Burnham fan, because there was a day where like a bunch of Bo Burnham songs played, and it's also like, you know, he had some of the songs are pretty good, but like, mm-hmm. I don't know, Bo Burnham is not the vibe that I want to be listening to while I'm working my warehouse job.
I mean, yeah. That song slaps. If you could put just the like on repeat, then I would listen to that.
Yeah. Today there was a lot of hard rock. I don't know the specific genres. There's like Dragon Force playing.
Oh sure, that's like speed metal.
Brent would know. Brent would probably list all the different genres. But anyway,
honestly, genres are just kind of like a joke to me. Like, because there's so many like specific goofy ass subgenres. I'm like, you're just making this shit up.
There's a new genre called bummer pop. Like, what does that even mean?
Yeah,
lo-fi sub-pop shoegaze. I'm like, what? Get out of here.
Okay, yeah. Shoegaze? Don't diss shoegaze. I'm
just kidding. Dude, it's literally like, how many bands? How many artists? There's two artists per genre. It's like, okay, is that a genre now? Or like, but anyway, right? Man, so
that's just called a band name.
I replaced the processor and the motherboard.
Yeah.
I power it on. It's working. Boom. I'm in the BIOS, which is like the setup screen.
Oh, sure. Sure, of course.
Brent's a BIOS boy.
I BIOS B Brent.
We haven't introduced ourselves yet.
That's so funny.
I know. I gotta finish the story.
Yeah, no, sorry.
I don't wanna make it too long.
I keep derailing you.
I don't wanna make it too long. I powered up BIOS. I can't find my freaking boot. I can't find the hard drive, which has my operating system. So I have to I go into some random cabinet and I find a flash drive that has a copy of Windows on it.
Happened to us at work.
I'm like, oh, I can load from this USB. I load from the USB. I get in there. Boom, boom, boom. Now the computer is like crashing every like 10 minutes, like anytime. And it's not like just randomly. It's like whenever I'm doing something and I'm like, okay, so something is happening with the processor, I think, because it was never with anything graphics intensive. So first off, the PC starts up faster than it detects my keyboard and mouse. So I couldn't F2 into my BIOS screen. So I had to go the long way through the freaking menus, right? And then in the BIOS screen, I find out that when I was messing around looking for my hard drive with my operating system, that I accidentally set the processor voltage too high, and the processor was essentially, the computer was shutting down as a safety mechanism because it didn't want to
fry the processor.
Yeah, exactly. Because I had like set it to some random overclock setting that I didn't have like the right other computer set up for.
And meanwhile, me and Brent are sitting here on Discord waiting for Jack to get his computer running.
For days. We were supposed to record 2 days ago. They were waiting. And so I'm doing that the whole time. Now the computer finally works. I skipped the whole bit about having to reinstall the drivers. Anyway, I was doing, if you heard at the beginning, I was doing a little violin riff because I was doing a Godfather bit. I was gonna go, and you come to me on the day of my daughter's wedding.
I thought that was just Brent's birds. I heard. That's some dedication right there. If you guys,
props
to Jack.
I'm your junk computer, Jack. How about that? I'm gonna introduce off that because we got to get this episode moving.
I'm your boot drive B, Brent. We're going computer themes for this one.
Nice.
Okay, I'm your Gucci belt B, Bobby.
Okay, ooh. Nice segue, Bobby. Today, we're talking about the house of the Gucci.
It's the most like... Oh, I see the Godfather bit.
House of the Gucci. And actually, interesting story. The first store was actually called the House of Gucci Leather Shop.
Oh,
But anyway, so what do you guys know about the murder of Maurizio Gucci?
Well, I'm gonna be honest with you. I tried to go in as cold as possible. I didn't know that he was murdered. What I know is there's a movie out about this right now. Starring one Lady Gaga and Adam Driver.
Yeah.
And
Madam Goggs is
and all I
Jared
and then the only thing I really heard about it is that there was some sort of like assassination plot. I didn't know up until you said that someone was murdered that it was like successful assassination plot. I wanted to go in as cold as possible. Yeah, I know. Sorry, but
I'm in the same exact boat as Brent.
There's not much. Yeah. There's not much build up, honestly. If you don't know that he wasn't murdered to like begin with. Anyway, so like I saw The House of Gucci in theaters recently, and I knew nothing about it. I thought it was just gonna be your classic family drama.
Yeah,
biopic
like keeping up with
whatever.
The Kardashians in Italy.
Yeah. I honestly just wanted to see the goofy Italian accents. Like,
sure,
that's basically why I went. And then I was like, and by the end, I was like, oh, he gets murdered. Honestly, when that scene happened, I was in the theater. I was like, oh shit, he gets murdered. Because if you had cut that scene out, I would have been like, dang, that was a weird movie. But instead I went, oh shit, he gets murdered, and then I went, dang, that's a weird movie. And then it cuts to the credits and it goes directed by Ridley Scott, and I go, what? I was like, I literally turned to my friend and we both go, that was the funniest reveal of the movie. That was the most compelling reveal of the movie. But so this is the story of Gucci, how Gucci became what we know today. So basically, Gucci was founded by a man by the name of Guccio Gucci.
Guccio Gucci.
Wow. Guccio. Okay. So Guccio was born in Florence, Tuscany, on March 26th of 1881. He was the son of craftsman who would also run a straw hat making business. They would weave straw into hats. By the time Guccio was old enough to hold a job, the business had gone under. The straw hat market was not biting, it would seem.
Yeah, it dried straw up. Shortage. Now straw hats dried up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they moved like around.
We're on to jaunty chapeaux now, guys. Straw hats are out.
Yeah. I don't even know enough about stupid Italian fashion. But so the Gucci family moved around a lot. in order to find work. And eventually Guccio ended up as a bellhop in London at a fancy restaurant, the Savoy. And it was there that he would notice that these rich, schmancy, fancy folks would take high esteem in their accessories, in the things that they carried around. And he noticed that there was sort of a niche missing of some high quality luggage, specifically. So in 1921, he gathered up a bunch of other leather craftsmen in Florence, and he started the House of Gucci Leather Shop. And initially, he sold saddles and leather bags and other leather goods, such as that expensive luggage. And he sort of was like, he brought a lot of like local craftsmen, you know, who'd be like, oh, I need a pair of shoes. Oh, go to, you know, Rodolfo down the street. Instead, they would all, you know, be working under one roof, and he'd be like, look, this is the, you know, this is the shoe we're going to make. This is the things that people want to buy. This is the bags that we're going to make. So by 1931, he had three sons, Aldo, Rodolfo, and Vasco. He didn't have them all in 1931. They were all, you know, like of age.
Sure.
But Aldo, was like, hey, you should expand. You should open a shop in Rome because, that's where the money's at. So Aldo, Rodolfo, and Vasco all joined the business, and Aldo oversaw the shop in Rome. However, by the time the Second World War broke out, leather was really hard to come by. So in order to reserve their leather, they would include more canvas and other fabrics into their attire. And so they started to only use leather on the handles and on the edges of things. And they would eventually start moving into other types of clothing that would use even less leather, like those fabric belts, that famous, you know, red and green fabric stripe. So the Guccis are, you know, like hot. They're like some high tier, highfalutin, you know, they're the peak of Italian fashion. In 1951, he opens a third store in Milan. So he's got, you know, these are like some, the, you know, the major cities in Italy. And Italy is starting to be taken really seriously as a fashion capital. It's really starting to rival France. And they're raking in a lot of dough. Aldo goes to Guccio and he's like, yo, dad, you know, the Americans have this whole like capitalism thing, dude. They'll buy anything. And Guccio is like, no, let's stay in Italy. I don't want to deal with all that stuff. And Aldo is like, nah, we're gonna do it. So 2 weeks before Guccio dies, the sons open a store in New York. Shortly after that, though, the third son, Vasco, dies before he has any sons. And Rodolfo and Aldo, the two heads of Gucci, buy out his wife, who inherited all his shares. So they now each own half of Gucci. Aldo oversees the stores in America, and Rodolfo oversees mainly the stores in Italy. Now, they're, you know, making tons of money. Gucci is the height of fashion. Aldo has three sons. The only one you really need to know about, though, right now is Paolo. And Rodolfo only has one son. And so now this family business is broken up into six different parts, and the power is not shared all that evenly. And Rodolfo's son is a boy by the name of Maurizio.
Ah, Maurizio. Mm. Ah. Yes.
So Maurizio is a very shy young boy. His mother dies when he's five, and his father becomes very overprotective because of that. And he feels like, and when he's growing up, he feels like he doesn't really fit in with his brothers, with his cousins, I mean. So they grow up, and you know they get of age to start inheriting the company, to start taking things seriously, settling down. And Maurizio meets a young now infamous woman by the name of Patrizia Reggiani.
Parmigiano Reggiano.
Yeah, basically. That's it. You got it, dude.
Dude, what a weird name.
When I was watching the movie, I did think of that every time I say. Okay, I will say one of the best parts of the movie was Lady Gaga was very attractive in this movie. I will say
she was
as Patrizia Reggiani.
Was it her power? Like, was it the power that she, exuded? Was she like a powerful woman?
No.
Or is it just because I don't find Lady Gaga that attractive personally?
No. She didn't look like Lady Gaga. She was like Lady Gaga in this movie was very attractive.
I'm just wondering how much of it was like, you know, her looks and how much of it was like...
I don't know, Bob. Why don't you Google Lady Gaga, Patrizia Reggiani, and then you can find out for yourself, Bob.
Okay. Yeah. Bob. No, she's got like a little Italian... lady vibe.
Italian.
Yes, and I could see what you're saying, Jack. It's the hair for me mostly.
Yeah, dude,
very nice hair in this movie. Yes. I'm sorry,
she was said to look like Elizabeth Taylor. And in the movie he's like, oh, Elizabeth Taylor. Okay, I have to just do a little tangent about the movie, because the movie was the most absurd thing I've ever heard, right? I read some behind-the-scenes stuff. Apparently, there was no accent coach on set, and let me just say, it was evident.
Oh, okay? No. Oh, no.
Everyone's accent was different from each other. It was different from scene to scene, you know? And it wasn't like they were... speaking Italian and then they had an accent when they were speaking English. They were speaking English and you were supposed to think they were speaking Italian. So it's like, why not just have your own accent? Because then there were other characters who were Italian who would just speak in like a British accent when they were, and it was like, why? Who directed this? Ridley Scott? Yeah. Why?
That's such a really mess. Weird.
Why?
I know. I feel like if I watch it, it'll sound just like me trying to do an Italian accent, which is just basically Mario. Yeah, exactly. Hello,
Jared Leto literally speaks like Mario.
Of course he does. It's Jared Leto. Hate that guy.
Okay, Jared Leto was the best part of the movie in the worst way possible. And this movie would be such a, like, oh, it's so bad, it's good. It would be such a funny movie to watch with a group of friends. But it's like 2 hours and 45 minutes. I'm not even kidding.
That's way too long.
It's over. It is, I don't know how long it actually is, but it is no joke over 2.5 hours. Like, literally, actually.
Wow.
It's too long. It's way too long to be watched as a joke. So in good faith, I cannot recommend this movie.
Really?
It's just too long. If it was shorter, I would. If it was less than 2 hours, I would. But it's just over 2.5 hours is way too much of a time commitment.
What was that
just
movie that was Dune like instead. The Irishman or something?
Three and a half hours?
Yeah, and I was like, watch The Irishman. And I was like, no, I'm not spending that long.
No, dude, it's worth it. It's worth it.
Okay,
I would rather watch The Irishman twice than watch House of Gucci again, just because it was just such a drag sometimes. Also, The Irishman is such a fun movie, dude. He's like, when you're killing this guy, you want to get something that's out of the box. You don't want to get something that's nice. You want to get something that's new. You know, so that's why I'd recommend something out of the box. It's just so good, dude. I've seen The Irishman like 3 times, Bobby.
Really?
I cannot believe you've watched the Snyder Cut and not The Irishman.
Because it's the same thing. If you actually move around the letters, they have the same letters.
No, but The Irishman is such a more enjoyable movie, Bobby.
Yeah, I know.
It's such a good movie.
Now that you're selling it to me, like, maybe I'll check it out.
Yeah, dude, I'm a great movie salesman. Let me tell you what. Anyway,
I'm just excited for No Way Home this week. I'm so excited. Week. I'm going to see it a day early because my sister gets
go be cool on Spider-Man Normie. I'm all about Spider-Verse.
Yeah, dude, that's what this movie's about.
No, dude. I'm talking into the Spider-Verse, across the Spider-Verse.
Yeah, it looks great. I'm going to watch that too.
No. I'm talking about the movie series Spider-Verse, the animated movies, not freaking
Yeah, I'm talking about that too.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
You're not. You're talking about
the first one was great and the new one looks amazing.
You're talking about No Way Home and you said that this is what this is about, but it's a different thing. This is Marvel's stupid cash cow. This is Disney milking the cash cow. This is Disney edging fans for 12 years with shit Spider-Man movies, and then Disney can come. You know what? Sony is probably
Tugboat
so
Maguire.
Pissed at Disney right now. He was whatever. He's gonna be in them anyway.
He better.
You can do a Spider-Man episode next week when it's your turn.
Fine.
When it's my turn, we're talking about Gucci.
Fine.
Settle down, boys. Settle down.
Continue.
Listen, boys. You better calm down before your mother gets home. Anyway.
Oh my God.
So Maurizio. We were talking about Maurizio. He meets Patrizia Reggiani. This woman was disliked by the family in general, but so greatly disliked by Rodolfo that he didn't speak with his own son for months. And it was only after the birth of their first daughter that Rodolfo welcomed Maurizio back into the fold and back into the family.
Mm.
So Patrizia Reggiani was incredibly ambitious, greedy, young socialite. She constantly spurned a young, meek Maurizio to make these bold decisions and to grab more power from his family.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, while this was happening behind the scenes with Maurizio, in the public eye, the Gucci family was going through a lot of public familial drama. Paolo had exposed his father, Aldo, for these hidden cash accounts that he was using to hide money from the U.S. government, sending him to a Florida prison for a year when he was 80 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, also, in the movie, right? In the mm-hmm. movie, Paolo... Right, he's talking to Maurizio, who Maurizio is also is a lawyer, and he's like, "What if they send my father to jail? My 81-year-old father will be dropping the soap."
Oh,
literally,
no.
That is a line in the movie okay. So after this, after Aldo gets released back from out of prison, all hell breaks loose. There are, you know, multiple public lawsuits between each other. They're like suing each other for using the because each one is trying to branch out and use the family name to start their own line. Mm-hmm. and they're suing each other for copyright infringement using their own name.
Oh, geez.
Allegedly there was one meeting where Paolo pulled out a tape recorder and threatened to play it in front of all six of the family members, and a fight broke out before he could play it, and they don't know if it was Maurizio or Paolo's brother Giorgiano or whatever the heck his name was. I didn't even write it down, but I think it was that, or Giorgio, whatever, one of those. Paolo ended up with like a deep cut near his eye on his face. So basically the Gucci family is falling apart, and the public is loving it. The public is eating this up. However, the Gucci company was beginning to sell cheaper and cheaper items, and Gucci was kind of beginning to lose some of its prestige.
It was becoming the good value brand.
Yeah. You could get it on, you know, you could get Gucci on backpacks and on coffee mugs, you know?
Yeah.
But Maurizio thought that it should be a that he wanted that prestige back. He wanted Gucci to be that premium brand again. However, the cousins all thought that they liked those cheaper items were bringing in a lot of money. However, in 1983, Rodolfo died, leaving his son Maurizio his shares and his over $200 million fortune, meaning Maurizio now owned half of Gucci.
Wow.
Yeah. So behind the scenes, they're in the movie, they play it like that Rodolfo had died before he had officially signed the documents. And that Patrizia forges Rodolfo's signature.
Oh, but there's no evidence of that.
Yeah, yeah. But then I don't know. I couldn't find anywhere talking about that except for the movie.
You gotta spice it up a little bit.
You like a spicy Italian meatball.
So behind the scenes, though, Maurizio had grown sick of Patrizia's prodding and manipulation. And they have a second daughter at this point, but whatever, their children don't matter. Not even to Maurizio, apparently, because at this point he packs a bag and he goes,
okay, I'm going down to somewhere else for a business thing.
And then he never comes back and he just abandons his family and he sends them a note that's like, I will give you a money and you can live in my house, but I don't want to see you anymore.
Oh, God.
So Maurizio is trying to buy out his family, and he pairs up with an Arabian investment group known as Investcor. And over time, they approach each member of the family. They start with Paolo first because they knew that he was weak, and that he would sell his shares to get revenge on his brothers and on his father because he blamed them for holding him back. Because he thought he was some great artist. He's actually credited with designing the double G logo.
Oh.
Paolo is. So eventually, after the first one folded, he had more than 50% and he was able to slowly buy out the rest of his family. And soon Maurizio was the only Gucci left at the company.
Wow.
At this time, though, Patrizia, his now estranged wife, soon to be ex-wife, was growing really upset because he was refusing to communicate with her. Maurizio was like, I am too busy with the business. In the movie, Lady Gaga is like, please, Maurizio, your children miss you. And he's like, I saw them 2 weeks ago. What are you talking about? And it's like, God. You're their father. What do you mean? You saw them 2 weeks ago. So Maurizio now controls the majority of the company, and he starts to revamp the company, reshape it in his own image. Like, boom, this is going to be this high-tier, highbrow fashion. However, no designer really wants to work with them because most other designers either have their own lines now or just don't want to work with Gucci because Gucci has lost that prestige. However, he eventually finds an ambitious, young, quote, edgy designer from Texas, a name that you guys might have heard, Tom Ford, because he is still associated with Gucci now. And so he introduced this new, their first sort of, that high tier sort of line. And it worked it worked sort of. This new image of high fashion Gucci, worked. However, Maurizio didn't cut the production of all those cheaper items, which lost them over $100 million in profits. His new investment partners were not happy. And so they, due to this, his bad business practices, and he was overspending. He was using a lot of the company's money to buy expensive artworks and sculptures and cars and say that he needs them to impress clients or to display in a Gucci showroom or something.
God.
They eventually fired him and bought him out of his shares. So now there are no Guccis left at the Gucci company. And of course, The rest of that story is history. As we know, Gucci is now one of the biggest fashion brands of all time.
Little Parks and Rec reference for anybody. It feels a lot like Entertainment 720 at this point, you know? Like,
yeah,
just this like big facade, like, you know, paying yeah. NBA players to just hang out just, in your warehouse.
Yeah, just to
like,
hang out and play, shoot hoops with
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You gotta buy
yeah.
a Gucci car and put it in the warehouse.
What about a Gucci?
Yeah, so there is so Paolo having being still upset eventually has evidence that Maurizio had used company money to buy a yacht, which obviously cannot be claimed in any way as a Gucci business expense. Yeah. And so he ended up getting in a lot of financial trouble because of that. So he ended up running from the Italian police. He hopped on a motorcycle and like drove overnight through the Swiss Alps and like lived in Switzerland and would like do business deals over the phone with his lawyer back in Italy, like while he was hiding from the police. And eventually he got cleared of all those charges.
How did he get cleared of those charges?
Well, I don't know. It was just like, or like he maybe they paid money or something. Probably
give us your yacht. We'll call it even.
Yeah. He probably just like paid I think it was like tax evasion or something. So I think he could just like pay the money, or whatever. At this time, you know, he's living a lavish lifestyle because this guy's still, you know, a multi-hundred millionaire. Because of all of his, he still had to be bought out by those guys, and he still inherited a ton of money from his father.
Sure.
And so he's living up this lavish lifestyle. He meets this young Italian socialite named Paola. Paolo is his cousin. Paola is his new love. And so once he meets her, he officially decides to divorce Patrizia. And at this point, she loses it, and she like sends him a letter saying like she's gonna kill him, and all he responds with is stop talking like this. Which is just like, he dude, total Sigma male mindset, dude.
Oh god,
she's just being dramatic.
Are you a Sigma male, Bob?
Almost Sigma male.
No, dude, Brent's a total Sigma.
I don't even know if I know what this means. Is this like the new Alpha?
Okay, honestly, Alpha's the new Beta, Sigma's the new Alpha, okay?
Wow, okay.
You have to be...
And Beta is like the baseline. Beta is like non-existent now. If you're Beta, you're not a human.
Yeah, you're black-pilled at that point.
Yeah,
just honestly... No, the Sigma mindset is like, got my mind on that grind. Like,
grindcore.
Yeah, 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 like,
it's all about the hustle, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
got my mind on alpha, that grind.
Well, because you know how alphas are like, all these women, you know, they flock to me.
Mm-hmm.
Sigmas are like, I don't care. I don't even care about women because my success is measured in other means.
Oh my God.
Or like something like that.
Beta men. Alpha men spend too much time worrying about the beta men. We don't even worry about beta, alpha, or women in general.
It's like, and then you'll see people who make fun of it, and it'll be like, I shit my pants to save time because I don't give a shit. That's my Sigma grind set. That's the Sigma grind. That's the Sigma mindset. Don't go to the bathroom. Just poop in your pants.
Exactly.
Yeah,
dude. I mean, listen, who's got time to stop to go to the bathroom when you're trying to get that grind?
Maurizio.
For that coin.
For that doge. No, we can't.
Oh, my God.
Listen, we're not a financial. We're long on Doge, but we're not a financial advisor.
Yeah, we're not advisors. Do your own research.
Do your own research, but we're long on Doge. Bog is long. We're long on Bog, long on Doge. long on Maurizio being a Sigma mindset as well. Okay, so he meets his mistress and he officially divorces her. And she goes crazy. She starts asking everyone she knows if they know someone who can kill Maurizio.
Wow, like she's legit about this.
She's not subtle at all.
She puts an ad out on Craigslist like, "Hey, it's me, your girl. I need an assassin to kill Maurizio. Hit me up."
I mean, like, honestly, she probably would have done that in the movie, right? Near the beginning of the movie. Okay, hold on. Before I get to that. Yeah. So she eventually meets what I can only ever find being described as her friend who was a psychic, right? Mm. Like one of those like, "Oh, come on in, I'll read your tarot cards, I'll read your palm, give me $20, here's a crystal ball," you know? Her name is Pina, I think. Who the people referred to as the Dark Witch.
Ooh.
In one thing I watched, they were like, "Now, we're not saying that there's any dark magic involved." Near the beginning of the movie, it's like late at night and Patrizia is like stress eating in front of the TV, and like a commercial for like this call the psychic hotline comes on. And she calls the line, and then live on air, Pina answers Lady Gaga's... Pina is Selma Hayek, by the way. Selma Hayek answers Lady Gaga's phone call, and then you can, on the TV, you can hear Lady Gaga twice, because you can hear her say it in real life, and then you can hear her on the TV, because if we weren't in the room with Lady Gaga, you could hear the whole conversation as a TV, because otherwise, if you were watching it, you could only hear Selma Hayek, and it would be absurd. And, you know, but it's like, what is this like TV program where you can call in or also just sit back and watch and it's live? Like, why was this a thing? Can anyone who lived in Italy in like the 60s, 70s, 80s tell me if that was real?
Yeah, well, I'm sure we have plenty of listeners in that category.
Yeah, some silent generation Italy listeners. And then like throughout the movie, she like progressively gets closer with this psychic who can like sense everything about Maurizio. And they're like, so Maurizio separates with Patrizia long before they officially divorce. Right. And then like in the movie, Pina, the psychic, like starts to cry because she's psychically linked to like Patrizia and Maurizio's love, and like Maurizio is hooking up with his mistress, and Patrizia is like, "Tell me where he is," and Pina is just crying, and I'm like, "What is going on?" Why does she have this weird psychic connection? Also, they've been separated. Also, you're a crazy manipulative woman. Like, doesn't love you. You just love his money. You don't actually love him. Anyway, so
damn, Jack got into this movie
throughout the movie. Like, eventually she's like, she literally says we need to cook up a spicy evil eye. Mm. And I'm like, what? I'm like, come on. What is this? Who wrote this? But they hire a hitman in the movie. It's absurd. That whole scene where they give him the money is absurd. The hitman eventually shoots Maurizio Gucci 4 times outside his office in Milan, 3 times in the back and once in the head.
So they succeeded. That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. The police knew that it wasn't a mob hit because they had seen enough where they were like, "Yeah, this doesn't look like a mob hit." Mm. There was a quote that from one documentary that I watched where they were like, when we heard that Maurizio Gucci was killed, it wasn't, you know, did he have any enemies, but the question was, you know, which one did it. And then it was, I feel like the investigation was pretty straightforward to lead to Patrizia. 2 years later, she was sentenced to 26 years in prison. The other accomplices were sentenced to 25 years, I think, or something. And the dude who actually killed him was sentenced to life. Due to some, like, weird Italian, like, appeal parole law bargain, Patrizia only served 16 years and then was able to get out on parole by getting a job. But they, when they initially gave her that offer, she responded with a quote saying, "I've never worked in a day in my life, and I don't intend on starting now."
What?
Mm-hmm. Also, apparently in the courtroom, the judge would refer to her as, you know, Miss Reggiani, and she would be like, "My name is Madam Gucci." She'd be like, "My name is Patrizia Gucci." Some other great Patrizia Gucci quotes are, it's better to cry in a Rolls Royce than to be happy on a bicycle.
Oh my God.
When she was released from prison after 16 years, one reporter asked her, "Patrizia Reggiani, why did you hire a hitman to kill your husband?" And she said, "Because my aim is bad and I didn't want to miss."
Oh my God. I think it's so funny that, like, the people like this, they're like, "It's better to be in a Rolls Royce crying." It's like, okay, Ms. Girl, your whole life was terrible and you ended up in prison. So clearly your advice is not to be taken seriously. Like, I just hate this, like, idea of, like, material matters. Like, it's like this, I don't know. It almost feels like every single time.
No, dude, someone it was a sweet, like, ride up until those 16 years in prison.
It just seems like every time someone's like, "Oh yeah, like Lamborghini, like, yeah," it just ends up bad for them. And I don't understand why people look up to these types of, like, I feel like a lot of people would watch this movie and be like, "Yes, queen," to, like, this
she
girl.
Goes by, no, I mean, I hope not. Dude, in the movie, there's, like, during the fashion, like, during the, there's a fashion show where they're showing off the new Tom Ford stuff. Mm-hmm. And, like, Adam Driver as Maurizio has this, like, crazed strobe light vision where he sees Lady Gaga's face as his crazy ex-wife watching him.
Oh my God.
It's, I was like, is this real? Is this real life right now? Or is this imaginary?
Yeah.
Is he on mushrooms? Like, what's happening?
That's up to the interpreter.
Dude, okay, guys, remember how I said that this movie is over 2.5 hours long? How much time in the episode? Okay, we got time for some more tangents about the movie, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, that's basically the end, because that's basically the end of the real story. To this day, she still goes by Madame Gucci, Mrs. Gucci. She's also known as the Black Widow.
And she's, like, out of prison now? She's, like, walking around?
Yeah. I mean,
she killed a guy.
Well, she didn't kill a guy. She paid a guy to kill a guy.
That's like pulling a trigger to a gun and saying, "The gun killed the person."
Nah, dude, it's like pulling a string attached to a trigger.
Yes, exactly. It's the same thing.
I'm around the corner, bub. What are you talking about? I didn't know this pulley was attached to anything. Did I say the scene where she pays the guy is absurd? I did say that.
Yes.
Because that scene is absurd. Dude, there are so many absurd scenes. There's, like, a whole scene where this one guy brags about his Gucci shoes, and then he's like, if you look in the shoe, and then this is Al Pacino's, like, "There's a freaking gold leaf in that shoe, which means you got that shoe from my freaking nephew Maurizio, which means that that's your investment partner." And I'm like, this is the dumbest way. This is so stupid. Well, obviously, who else would it be?
Oh my God.
And then there's, like, a whole scene where Patrizia is talking to the family's lawyer, and she leans over to him and she's like, "Can I ask you a question?" And and he's like, "You just did." And she goes, "What?" And he goes, "You just asked me a question."
Oh my God.
And she was like, "Yeah, but can't." And he was like, "What you meant to say was, can you ask me two questions?" And she was like, okay, well, can I ask you two questions? And he was like, yeah. And then she just like asked the question that she wanted to ask. And I'm like, why didn't she just ask that question? Why? And then at that point in the movie, I literally leaned over to my friend and I was like, I was with seeing the movie with Leah and I was like, Leah, this movie is over 2.5 hours long. And there was just like, why did the, like, who, like, the editor must have been like, why don't we just cut this? And Ridley Scott was like, no, it's gold. It's gold.
Yeah, this is, we need this Abbott and Costello bit in the middle of House of Gucci.
Dude, at one point, Lady Gaga does the Father, Son, Holy Ghost thing, except she says Father, Son, and House of Gucci.
Oh, my God.
And then I read an article about a behind-the-scenes thing, and apparently that was like an improv on the set, and Ridley Scott like loved it.
No, it's so cringy. I hate that.
Dude. It's,
this Italy is like not things, a place that's known for like.
This feels like one of those things. Yeah, this feels like one of those things where there was no one around to say no. Yeah. Like, you know, when George Lucas did the prequels, yes. It's like no one was there to say no to George when he had a bad idea.
They were having too much fun.
Was there anyone from Italy involved in this entire movie?
I think some of the extras probably were.
But it's like, and it was, I don't
probably,
know.
It would, this seemed like an excuse for like Ridley Scott. Ridley Scott was probably like, yo, I'll do a bunch of shooting in Italy. I'll get paid to go on vacation to Italy.
I mean, he's getting up there, so maybe he just
Like, he's like 80 years old or something.
Yeah.
He's just using it as an excuse.
Dude, there's a scene, there's like this whole bit where like Jared Leto as Paolo is trying to be a, you know, a fashion designer, but he's terrible at it, and Jeremy Irons as Rodolfo is like you know, true, he's like listen, you must not show these drawings to anyone. A true masterwork must hide his drawings because a genius, a master so genius will be stolen by any prying eyes. You have to be so very careful. But you have achieved such mediocrity that no one will ever, ever steal this.
This feels like a review of the movie.
And then, yeah, exactly. And then Jared Leto pees on a handkerchief and then he leaves.
Oh,
and then later, Patrizia is like flattering him to get him on, you know, their side for some stupid drama thing. And she's like, Paolo, you have a gift. And he goes, she goes, do you know that you have a gift? And he goes, does an elefante shit in the jungle? That's literally a line in this movie. And I was like, what the f- what? What?
Okay.
What am I watching?
Honest question for you guys. Do you think that this movie hurt the brand of Gucci or helped the brand of Gucci?
Okay, well, the Gucci,
I feel like it hurt it.
The remaining, I feel like it, I don't know, man. There's like there's like a whole bit where it's insinuated that like all the Gucci fakes that you see being sold on like city streets, you know, for like $10 a bag or whatever, that those, it's like insinuated that those are made by Gucci, that those
like
are
the actual Gucci.
Yes. That those are just like that it's just the same people, just with less, you know, just less held to a lower quality. And it's implied that they're like, might as well corner the fakes market as well before somebody else gets the money. And
that's
like,
interesting, actually.
It's funny. Yeah, Adam Driver, like, he's looking at the fakes and he goes, these are good. I would buy it. I would.
Well,
think
for the
it's
most
a,
part, they're like pretty similar in, you know, it's always that weird thing where it's like, if it's not the actual brand, it's like fake value, you know. It's this idea that like, if it's not from the place where it's supposed to be from, it's not a real Gucci thing, even though it could be the same exact material, the same exact manufacturing.
Well, the way that plot point is introduced is like Patrizia is pissed because her maid has a fake Gucci handbag.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she was like, where did you get this? How could your bitch ass afford this?
Oh, I don't know. Like to me,
well, you're not. I mean, Patrizia is not supposed to be a sympathetic character. She very much is the villain of the movie.
I think that something interesting to think about is how
this movie feels almost like the 21st century of making really cheap products for everybody. Like, it's like everybody buys a ticket and can be like, I'm included in Gucci now because I saw the Gucci movie. And it's like, I don't know if they're making money from the movie. Do you know, Jack? I have no,
no there's
idea.
No way. There's no way. There's no way. There's no way. Because it does not portray Gucci in a good light. The family, like the remaining family, was saying like, because Aldo, right, who's played by Al Pacino. Mm-hmm. Al Pacino's a short, fat man. Aldo was like tall and handsome, and the family was like we think that the depictions of the Gucci family was offensive. There was like a quote that they were like, we thought they portrayed us as thugs or something.
How'd they get the rights to do this movie? Like, how'd they get permission?
It's just the truth. I don't know, man. Huh. Every movie is a work of fiction, legally.
I thought you weren't allowed to like make a movie about someone unless they gave you permission. But I don't know. I'm just making that up off the top.
Does Gucci make money from House of? There's no way.
Yeah, I feel like they shouldn't. But also at the same time, it's like they are a brand. And so it's
Gucci,
like
Gucci family issues fuming statement over their portrayal in Ridley Scott's House of Gucci.
But like, if you can trademark your company name, how can you like, I could not make a movie right now, a big blockbuster movie called like House of Disney, you know, and like their brand, they have trademark, they have lawyers. I just, it's surprising to me.
Well, maybe just because Disney is too big. I don't know, man. Maybe.
I don't know.
They can't stop you from telling a story that happened.
Yeah.
Well, this is what they said. The production of the film did not bother to consult the heirs before describing Aldo Gucci, president of the company for 30 years, played by Al Pacino, and members of the Gucci family as thugs. Wow. Ignorant and insensitive to the world around them, the statement said. It added that the pic attributes a tone and an attitude to the protagonists of the well-known events that never belonged to them. This is extremely painful from a human point of view and an insult to the legacy on which the brand is built today.
Wow. I see another thing here. According to Gucci CEO, the fashion house cooperated with the production of and gave them full access to the archives and wardrobes of the props. So maybe it's the Gucci family might be separate from the entity itself, and the entity
Maurizio was the last Gucci to have any association with the company.
So I feel like that's where I was like confused. Like the company let them do it because they're like, hey, you know, all press is good press, and the family's like,
Well, I mean, I guess it doesn't matter because it's all just drama about the family, and it doesn't like if the family's not associated with the company anymore. Like I'm sure you could have a House of Gucci part 2 that shows you all the drama with Tom Ford and all the new people there.
Mm.
But we just don't.
Yeah, I'm starting to look it up, and all I can find is that Metro Goldwyn-Mayer acquired the rights to the film in 2020. So I don't know who they had to acquire those rights from, but they acquired it. So whoever they had to acquire the life rights to the film from, they did it. So
they got the rights in 2020, and then this movie came out in 2021.
They might have already been filming it or something, you know. So,
but I mean, there's a good possibility.
No wonder it was dog, dude. Like what? Like either way, if it transfers production houses, like that's still a mess.
Yeah.
Right, and I mean, there's a good chance that maybe like they bought the rights from the Gucci family or remaining Gucci family, and then just did not consult them in any way, shape, or form. They just secured. Here's your money. We got the rights to this now, and we're just gonna do what we want to do.
Right,
and then you know they have no. They got the rights, so they have really no legal say in what they do with those rights. You know. Right.
I wonder if like there are like the rights to you know such and such's story, right? But yeah, I wonder if there are no rights because, like, maybe that's why that because there are like because they were just like, oh yeah, this is just all what we heard through the public because this is what it was all public. There's also a book called The House of Gucci, which I assume has to be partially of what this is based
yeah,
off
maybe
of
that is now. The rights that they secured is right, the rights to adapt the book or whatever. Right.
Probably, so, yeah. That's what I'm willing to bet.
It's a good point. Yeah. Good point. That sounds likely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But yeah. Anyway, interesting story, interesting movie, but maybe not. A lot of scenes were just like dialogues that were just like random conversations that had way more interesting things going on in the background.
Mm.
Like there was a dog drinking out of a fountain or like a fencing class one time. One time some dude like ran across the camera. And I was like, why did that just... It was so weird because they cut into a scene where a dude was already halfway down a hallway and he walks and then Maurizio comes on screen. And then the dude crosses in front, and you like full on see the full face of this guy.
Oh my God.
This random extra. And then it was just such a. I'm like, why did they do that? I just hate movies that I'm like, why did the director do that? I'm like, why didn't he just not have that guy there?
Yeah.
He clearly intended for that guy to be on screen. Why?
Mm.
He was the only other guy, and it was literally just a shot of Maurizio walking through a hall. I'm like, it was like not even like a hallway in like a business office. He was in like some big like gothic Italian. It was just so weird. It was a weird shot, Ridley.
Ridley shot.
It's a Ridley shot, Ridley.
God damn it, Ridley.
Don't miss.
Where's your artistic integrity, man? Anyway, that's my review of the movie. There were more interesting things in the background always.
You know, on that note, I think we should probably do a Patreon plug because Jack's been working like a dog and he was able to pull that out. I'm impressed, honestly. I'm impressed.
Mm. Mm.
Because it's not easy to do research for something when you're doing it for free. So go support us on Patreon, and shout out to our current Patreons for supporting us because they are the ones who make the show possible. You can go check out our brainboggledpodcast.com to see our Patreon and all of our other perks and different things that we offer. We actually have a blog where you can see the visuals of a lot of our episodes. And we have a YouTube channel with some funny videos on there and some shorts. So go check that out. And also, we got social media. So if you want to follow our social media, I think I'm going to do a nice Jack face on Madame Gucci meme this week.
There's a lot of good images of the Guccis because they were very public figures.
Yeah. So keep your eye out for that. You can go on our Instagram at Brain Boggled, right?
Yep. And Brain Boggled Pod on the Twitter. So.
Yes. Woo! Yeah.
Indeed. Indeed.
Oh, it's only been 3 years and we still don't know our Instagram
and
versus our Twitter.
Thank you for listening to the Gucci. The story of the Gucci.
Ciao, ciao!
Okay, bye.
See ya.
I will not.